Yeah.
And you haven't been the same since, my dear.
Well, people go, you know, in India, people go into the Ganges River, right, for purification amongst whatever other kinds of sicknesses they might pick up or bump into a floating skull or something like that. Yeah, no big deal. And you know, Sri Ramakrishna had the, you could say, the gift of, you know, a subtle vision, right? Etheric vision. So he could see people's samskaras, our crazy bitch tendencies, would leap off their shoulders and then jump into the trees. A person would go into the Ganges River and then they would feel completely purified. The moment they came out of the river, they would jump back on their shoulders.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just like get out the shotgun and get them on the
Well, you got it, yeah. You know, while you're bathing, you have to have a friend take them out with like a, you know, etheric shotgun.
But
I know. Who wouldn't? Well, that's why we have vortex healing. That's right. Crazy bitch purification. We should start that as a new healing thing.
That would
be wildfire, yeah.
Guys would be dragonalized. You could do a real profit based thing there.
Now that you've been through vortex healing, fuck that. Let's do crazy bitch purification.
Yeah. I love it.
Honey, have you heard about the new program? Have you got an idiot Bubba in your life? Come on down. We heard you were bringing banana bread.
I sent out
an email said Terry's thinking about bringing banana bread. Roll the dice. Roll the dice. Did anybody win?
Did anybody win?
Did anyone win? Did anyone play?
Three or four different people.
Yeah, several people.
Three or four?
Yeah.
Did we win? God damn it.
We had one number.
One number. Jeez. All right. Well, I bet. I guess I'm going to work tomorrow. Good try. Oh well. Easy come, easy go. I had the Paris trip planned, but that's out.
To see Naho.
To see Naho.
I gotta see that. She was just created.
Yeah. Sure.
Where does she live?
Paris.
Paris village. And she does it all in English.
Yeah. But she has that adorable little kind of half broken English thing going on. Like she has good English but not completely perfect. No. Like some Oriental people that
This is Terry. This is our friend Gavin visiting from the West Coast. Yeah, he's the first guy in the history of humanity that actually left the West Coast to do something spiritual. total trendsetter. Total trend. He left like San Rafael to come here. No one can figure it out. Yeah, that's never going to happen again. So this is a special event. That's never going to happen again.
Or this could be just like the rest of the way.
Could be, yeah. Could be the cutting edge. Yeah, this room's going to fill up. Right. Yeah. It's like Ricky Gervais of the Golden Globes. Did he just say something funny?
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess we should meditate. Just kidding. Yeah, really. Yeah, just kidding. Don't waste your time with that shit. 10 minutes. Well, you know, go down to the restroom. We'll see you when you get back.
I've done some quality meditation on that.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I actually grabbed 10 minutes of work today.
Oh, good.
I think I'm gonna do.
They didn't notice? Well, you're always comatose at work. They don't know what condition you're in. Is Terry meditating, or is she just comatose? No, it looks like she's in the groove. No.
Has anybody identified this as talking meditation?
I don't know. No one really comments on this because no one knows this exists.
Well, Tai Chi is moving meditation.
Yeah, you could get away with that. Tai Chi is moving meditation.
And meditation is non-moving.
Yeah.
And we're talking. We're meditating. We're talking meditation.
That's the idea.
Yeah. Well, that's a puzzler.
It is a puzzler.
Try that one out.
I know. Yeah, I mean, I texted the Buddha. He wouldn't take my. No.
He's not a talker.
No, not much of a talker. He's like, he's dead, like Red Skelton. He's still dead.
I remember Red Skelton. Yeah, I get
on. What a goof. Wow.
Yeah, that was good. Any questions?
Master, tell us about the nature of reality.
Quick program. You'll notice no one in this business, his first name is Bader.
We're a little slow in the mouth.
Exactly. Yeah.
No wonder.
Nobody dares name their kid Bader. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, so we were talking at the lake. It was kind of fun. The theme was let the sirens sing. Right? So like in the context of vortex healing or all kinds of other things that promise, you know, remedial relief of that ails us, that which ails us. So we end up thinking that if we could accomplish some kind of... Hi, good evening. First time here?
Long time listener, first time comer.
Late as usual.
Late as usual. There's this kind of pervasive myth that occurs, you know, within the, call it the field of the, you know, spiritual seeking or spiritual sucker or people that are even interested in, you know, self-realization. You know. Which could look like seeking remedy, right? Seeking intervention for that which ails us. And then, you know, within, let's say, the somatic, you know, systems, the healing systems, we're looking at something that could maybe be referred to as, call it, you know, the perfection of the flesh, right? As a body, as a mind, as an individuated creature, sensitive, let's say, to the vicissitudes of the species at large, we might hope to manipulate ourselves, manipulate others, manipulate the world, manipulate our experience, so that we can end up in a preferential condition. All right. So you could look at that remedial impulse as a perfection of the flesh, right? Trying to make the world a better, friendlier, sustainable place to mitigate either so-called personal suffering, nuclear family suffering, or, you know, you could go out iterations and iterations. So the fun part was this, you know, playful insight, which is like, if we could, if we dared and could perfect what we call the world, whether through the perfection of the flesh or, you know, the success of some kind of remedial activity, well, then this wouldn't be this, right? It would be something else that you created as an idealized remedy for whatever disquietude that you may be experiencing. And do we really want, would we even be interested in living in a world where it to obey our interest for its so-called perfection?
Actually do.
Well, I mean, we do it on our scale, right? And dictators do it on their scale, and genocidal maniacs do it on their scale, and the 0.1% oligarchy across the, right, do it on their scale. And so you can see that by virtue of a more or less tiny, tiny kernel of a wound through money, influence, power, right? The remedy that I'm seeking in my own tortured soul, if I'm crazy, and we're all crazy, can influence huge numbers of people or huge systems as an outgassing of a tortured soul having fantastic influence over, you know, geopolitics. It's wild. It's wild. I mean, you know, someone like Hitler kind of comes to mind. But, you know, he obviously didn't do what he did solo, right? A pervasive wave went through an entire culture that, and over again, you know, throughout the species, you can see, you know, the poor and the foreigners being blamed for the financial collapse of the system that was most likely caused by the bankers. So you go out and genocide and the bankers are still sipping cocktails, yeah. Right? We see over and over again. And though we're playing with it on a geopolitical scale, it's my own consciousness.
And, you know, the Christians and the TM people,
yeah,
they all have their own...
Is that two different groups?
But they all have their mechanisms to change what is, you know, through prayer.
That's just it.
Cosmic,
yeah. So imagine the world, what we call the world, got perfected so that there was, right, no trouble. There was sustainability and we could all urinate on each other's behalf and interesting things like that. We were just talking about that earlier. Imagine a culture.
That's going to be lost on the crowd.
I'll give it a context. Imagine, you know, a species that could mature so that, let's say, your husband or your friend or whomever could go and pee on your behalf so you didn't have to leave the dinner table. You know, osmotic urination. Surrogate urination. I mean, wouldn't that be a fantastic thing?
Very high. Job for, you know.
Surrogate urination. Well, the Pleiadians, I understand, are capable of it. I just don't talk about it. It's a little weird. Yeah. Hey, Bernie, would you mind? I got to pee. Would you mind? Yeah, I'll take care of it. I feel so much better. Thanks. Where were we?
The sirens singing.
The sirens, yeah, you see. So you would not want to live in a world where it obeyed your insistence or demands for some kind of amelioration or perfection. Because if you did, the sirens would go, I guess we're out of a job.
Meaning the interest and magic of this place that is completely not within control.
Okay.
Like, it wouldn't be as much fun if we could actually do something with it.
Yeah.
Well, it's like when they train dolphins, they don't give them a treat every time they do a trick. They do it every so often, kind of, and it's really reinforcing.
I'm not sure if I would go with the dolphin metaphor, but I might have missed something.
Well, just that, like, we don't want a treat every time. We think we want a treat every time, but we don't.
Okay.
We want a little
yes.
mystery, and when we're going to
right.
get a treat.
You see, without the mystery, without the impossibility, without the novelty and loss of control, this would not satisfy us in the way that we think or hope that it would. If the sirens went out of business, the whole thing might as well just fold. Now, when you're looking at it on a scale, whether it's your the arc of your existence, or the, you know, call it the great catharsis of the, you know, the arc of the species. I mean, the suffering is not tiny. It's not tiny. It's big. It's elaborate. It's pervasive. It's systemic and pandemic. It's fractalized. That's the sirens singing. So when we try to approach our so-called first-hand experience, and we apply our attention and our interest and our, you know, vitality toward or for the sake of remedial success, some kind of remedial success, then you could say you're actually departing from the catharsis of the songs of the sirens to try to create a subdivision for yourself, which, right, stands in some kind of enviable spiritual, psychological, physical, whatever condition. By trying to remedy ourselves, I would suggest that we dilute the very vitality that's present for us to penetrate the intimacy of the vibratory field to be able to see through. This doesn't suggest we shouldn't do vortex healing or meditation or, you know, be vegan if that's our predilection or whatever it is. It's a little more intimate than that, right? It's how do we respond to the magnificence of ourselves. Even the not so pretty, even the not so comfortable, you know, the rageful, the sorrowful.
Yeah. So what you're talking about is a settling in, a overused word, but an acceptance or a letting be.
Well, you see, it can never be, it can never meaningfully be some kind of suggestion or some kind of encouragement, some kind of vow, because it's too alive for that. Right? The vitality of the siren's song is, right, you hearing it and see whether it takes you to the rocks. Right? So it's not a behavioral, it can't be a behavioral reply to the magnificence of your present experience. It's got to be disruptive of that. It's got to be a little wilder than that, right? Because the moment it's like comfortable, or the moment that it's even, I dare I say, an acceptance on your part, only you can figure out whether you've, right, dropped the ball on the profundity of the vitality of your present experience and turned it into an object, or whether you're still in the game, right? Whether your attention and your availability is so intimate, is so present, is so permeable that you can deal with the ouch, you can deal with the siren song, you can let it in and let it in and let it in, and then just discover, not through choice or vow or, you know, clever commitment, but discover whether that interface can open a different window of catharsis in your own experience, in your own soul.
Are you describing the difference between get this away from me and I want this, rather than just that?
Okay is nice. Okay is, you know, okay is not perfect, because nothing can be perfect, but okay is pretty much about as naked as you can get, right?
Set down the manipulation.
Yeah, set it down. You see? Ah, Because the reflex is when we're conjuring and we've created, let's say, some kind of wave of anxiety, some kind of wave of strategy, a wave of planning, a wave of amelioration, a way of trying to fill the future with some kind of, right? That's you could say, the myth of self, right, in motion, trying desperately to return to some kind of comfort, right? Yeah. It's like, wow, what would it be like if we just set that down, that reflex, that impulse down to avoid, right, to avoid the invitation for dissolution or the invitation for transmutation or the invitation for something completely brand new, because the vibratory field has become so uncomfortable and the thoughts associated with the vibratory field are so uncomfortable that we're medicating. Yeah.
Let's say for explosion. Explosion can be good. Instead of saying, okay, well, you just explode. And that's cathartic too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I guess you're talking about kind of thinking about ways to get back to a comfort zone, but if you're really in the moment and you're really riding that wave,
yeah.
Like exploding could be part of it too, right?
Mm-hmm. Obviously, look at us all. Yeah, sure. Duh. Yeah,
it's just like spontaneous.
Mel Gibson.
That's right. Yeah, like Mel Gibson talking to an ex-wife.
No, you're talking about acceptance and the okayness of things. And sometimes, we're all programmed that everything is okay, and
you're talking about a response.
Yeah, or like writing something, but. Sometimes it includes not just being accepting.
Yeah, no, we're not talking about accepting as a preferential strategy as contrasted with, be authentic.
Right.
Yeah, no. Yeah. No. Oh, and we're not even suggesting okay as if things are okay. The way I heard the okay was fuck. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, God. Damn. Sirens. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Don't you think there's a little bit of issue with the idea of somebody accepting or somebody exploding?
Well, shit happens. We're not suggesting anyone do a thing. Right? Yeah. We're not justifying or denying any behavior that shows up, right, spontaneously and authentically in your so-called life experience.
I mean, that's all pretty automatic.
It's always automatic.
Someone doing it. It's that you accept where you exclude.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the problem.
Yes. We'll look at the texture of so-called present experience and explore the texture of sometimes what might be referred to as now, right? But you can see that now is impossible. Now is impossible. There's nothing but now, but there's no now. There's nothing but now, but you can't find now. You can't actually occupy a place, a condition, or a moment. There's nothing but now, if we want to call it now, but you can't find now. You can't do anything with now. You can't occupy now. You can't even occupy your own experience. Because look at how quickly you are catharting. Look at how quickly attention, sentiment, mind, feeling, sensation, mood, right? Sticky note, commitment, vow, promise, broken promise is happening in your own experience. You're insane. Insane. And yet, we try to manage, micro or otherwise, this absolute field of siren, right, cacophony, from the point of view of some kind of static creature, static consciousness that is going to make a vow, is going to do a thing, is going to explode, or is going to chill out, or is going to accept, or is going to, excuse me?
As if there's any control.
As if there's any control, as if there's any agency, as if there's any implication, as if there's any outcome, as if it's going to do something for you, as if this is going to do something for you. Once you get it right, once you outsmart it, this is going to do something for you. Then the sirens are out of business. Why would you want that? See, you only want that as a creature. You only want that as an hallucination. You want the sirens to go out of business because you want to be safe as the creature. But you're not a fucking creature. Let the sirens fucking sing. Let them sing.
And maybe you'll hear something.
Who knows? See, who knows? I mean, that's what we're playing around with, right? Because in most circles, and this circle is no different or special than any other place, but in most circles, whether it's this one or elsewhere, our primary engagement with it or ourselves or with each other is through the lens of the creature. And the creature is not happy. The creature suffers. The creature is, you know, there's disquietude. There's some dearth of quiescence. And the creature wants to turn the fucking sirens off. And the creature thinks that he, she, or it will be much better off once the sirens shut the fuck up. Right? And so then we become completely enamored of and get stuck in the fantasy of a remedial relationship with living. Holy fuck, we get stuck in a remedial relationship with this. With a miracle where the sirens sing. I mean, the fucking Buddhists try to suppress this shit even, right? Through the cultivation of morality and the cultivation of ethics and the cultivation of the paramis and the cultivation of the Eightfold Path. Do this and do this and do this and do this and don't just do it, but do it right. Ah! Can't. Not possible. You mean, well, first of all, you want me to do 8 fucking things? I can't do 1 fucking thing. And you want me to do them all right? I'm out of here. Keep the deposit. I'm out of here. Keep the deposit. Yeah, do 8 things and do them right. What? Do you know me? I am a self-sabotaging total fucking mess. I can't do 8 things, let alone anything, ever right. That path's not going to work for me. I'm fucked, man. Yeah, do all these things, do them right, and guess what? We'll give you a volume control. You can turn the sirens right down. I don't want to turn the sirens down. I like the sirens. I like the rocks. As much as I am troubled by the condition of my own psyche and the condition of the so-called world, I'm not so sure I'm ready to commit to change. I'm not so sure. When it comes to the amelioration of my own suffering, I'm all in. But when you can see the myth of the implication of the amelioration of your own suffering, you might think twice about it. Because if the sirens go out of business, so do you. And I'm not talking realization. Something else. Fortunately, the sirens will never go out of business. No matter what effort you make, they are going to just keep frothing up. You can't turn them off. And that's good news, because we're crazy enough that we would actually try to put them out of business. Instead, we're going to fucking extinct. They will keep singing. But that's a lofty conversation for philosophers and geophysicists. Yeah. So it gets really tricky. It just does. If you look at the geometry, whatever that suggests to you, because we don't know what the fuck we're talking about as in ever. You look at the geometry of, let's call it the genesis of your sense of self, your sense of individuation, right? You're the intermediary, right? Who's the constant in your crappy life? You are. It's always you. As the intermediary. As the experiencer. Conjuring creature. Conjuring time. Conjuring manifest destiny for moi. Right? Sure. But if you trace it down, get a little a little nugget, a little glimpse of your, call it sensorial, vibrational, intimate encounter with the buzz, right? The bzzz underneath the mind's projections. That's your actual experience. Now that experience can show up as some kind of elation, some kind of curiosity, some kind of boredom, some kind of fear, some kind of paralysis, some kind of victimization, some kind of sorrow, some kind of explosion. It can show up as any and all those things. See, but as long as attention is fascinated by its own rumination, which is the movement of you as a self, right? You as a continuous disparate creature, you as a continuous disparate consciousness or bio or body unit, right? Then that's where the turbulence and the tumult is, and that's where the reflex to remedy what is disquietude.
Well, the fascination is for the objects of the rumination, it seems to me, as opposed to the rumination itself. I mean, fascination with the whole notion of rumination, just like with the senses, is one thing, but then sensation, but then fascination with the objects, then you're lost in object land.
Yes. we're playing around with, can we use the word continuum of conscious contact with a field. I mean, we use five senses, right? Seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, thinking, call it a sixth sense, or the capacity to see dead people, right? The true sixth sense, yeah. Ah! It's Mel Gibson. Red Skelton. It's Red Skelton. No! But you see, these are words, right? Right? Light, sound, taste, tactile, aroma, and the so-called plenum that experiences these sensorium, and the sense of self that accompanies the miraculous capacity for abstraction. Right? The birth, the genesis of the intermediary. What the fuck? See, once we turn it into five senses and names and forms, it's no longer a vital encounter. It's no longer an intimate encounter, right? Because now it's just, sure. Seeing shit, hearing shit, tasting shit, thankfully not that. Smelling shit, that can happen.
Hey, it might be really good shit.
It could be good shit. Well, Mr. Natural says it is. Right? So you see how easily we become seduced and enamored of the presentation of reality and our relationship with the presentation of reality through nama rupa, name and form, which is virtual. It's not actual. It's idea. You're an idea. You as an intermediary, as a durable consciousness, as a durable creature, the one that goes to sleep and wakes up so much more or less the same the following day, is an idea. Construed of what? We don't really know. I can name, the so-called elements in the field as if they're actually discrete, but they're not discrete. This is a field of right? I mean, wild sensation. And if you drop back a little bit, drop down a little bit, from the seductive hysteria of self, right, as creature in time, at risk, that wants the sirens to just go out of business, you might discover something really fucking curious. you are capable through no special effort or repetition. To feel, call it notice. Right? Call it the curious signature of irrefutability that does not turn into an object. I know that's a long word. I can't even spell that, or probably even say it again. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You see, before you come into view, as a creature with a quarrel, not quarrel, quarrel, argument, displeasure, not a meerschaum pipe. Aren't those made out of coral?
I'm glad you described that.
Yeah, yeah, good. I know for you. Did he say, blessed are the cheesemakers? What the fuck? Why did we come today, Bob?
Everybody loves cheese. Come on. Everybody.
It could be a creature with a corral.
Yeah, there you go. You see, we're so, I wouldn't say fond of, we're so habituated to quarreling with ourselves as the creature put upon by a thousand fermentations and fomentations of, you know, at-riskness, vulnerability, irritability, projection, loss. Ouch, ouch. Ouch. That doesn't fucking stop. Ouch. Ouch. I mean, give me, I'll think about, how much shit can I think about in 5 minutes? And every one of them is going to be, ouch. Ouch. Oh, fuck. Ouch. Oh, that's a good one. No, ouch. You know what I mean?
Netty.
Yeah. Yeah. Netty. That's right. Ah, netty. Well, you could go that way. You could say, not this, or you could go this. Right?
And end up, ouches you, are netty.
Yeah.
We're going to learn it. Want to or not.
So we, our the vitality of our interest tends to be wound up in remediation, which we don't really see the implication of, but things hurt and they ouch. So the reflex is, you know, for remedial intervention. Or we get whipped up into, what can we possibly do about ourselves to reparent, to remedicate, to recalibrate? Again, as a way of, right, mitigating the profundity of, ouch, the liberating cacophony of the siren song. And we're not that good at it. I mean, we do a lot of trying to turn the volume down on this, and it just really doesn't work that well, does it? Doesn't work that well. What, like in the 12th step, right? You do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. We are fucking crazy because we continue to respond to the inner sanctum of our own, right, confusion by trying to weasel out of the implications of our misdiagnosis. Ouch. Ugh.
Did you just say we're looking in the wrong spot? Trying to fix the little eye is looking in the wrong spot.
We've misdiagnosed the miracle field as self, and then we just end up
down the rabbit hole of self.
That's right. That up the ass, down the rabbit hole. We try. We're enrolled in the medication of a ghost.
And that's a full time job.
Have you noticed?
And it goes into infinity.
Yes, it does. It can. Since whatever this is or isn't is of the nature of infinity, meaning non-finite, both delusion and nirvana, they can go infinite. Yeah, the nirvanic infinity does not have an advantage over samsaric infinity. It just doesn't. It can't. Because if it would, then the sirens go out of business, and you don't want that. It's got to be what it is, not what you want it to be. for the sense of, you know, the amelioration or pleasantness of the brief of your lifetime. It has to be what it is. That's what you want. You don't want the sirens to go out of business. But I'm not necessarily saying that we want suffering and for suffering to continue. I'm not saying that.
It's just stop living your life with the focal point of all your efforts and reaching to get rid of the suffering. It's going to do what it's going to do, right?
You can work on it.
That's a plausible reflection, and that's a plausible reflection, and there's no, right? Yeah, see, there's no remedy at all. And so there can't be a one-liner that now I agree to follow because that's going to work for me. You see, one is still within the delusion of the perfection of the flesh. Mm-hmm. This consciousness shit, this is going to fucking go my way. Once I commit to, you know, what John DeReuter told me to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to fucking work.
Can we say that every output boils down to a sort of false sense of separation, where there's this belief that there's a separation where we're a creature, right, and different from these objects, right, and then the sort of what I want to say is, oh, okay, so that's the problem that needs to be remediated. Right.
Yeah, that's right. See, you
and so we just need to be in community. We need the three jewels of Dharma, Sangha, and whatever.
That works. R. See, nothing fucking works, which is good news because we don't want the sirens to go out of business.
I'm looking for validation here. But anyway, so along the sirens thing, right?
Yeah.
I was at a group this week. One of the groups, 12 subgroups I belong to, one of the guys killed himself in the group. And
at the group?
No. I thought that didn't happen.
Yeah, really? That's an exciting meeting. Hey, why don't we go out for a cigarette break? That fucking guy's dead. Somebody put up another fresh pot of coffee. We're going to need it.
But we're all sitting around, like, talking about, you know, our experience of him and sadness and this and that. And at one point, just everybody got silent, right? And then my experience was, oh, this is like a cathartic moment. Like, we're all just sort of in communion here, right? And then I had this idea. I'm saying this is an idea, but I had this, like, thought. This is my experience. Somebody over there may be looking at me thinking, she's a fucking whack job. You know?
Knowing you, I'm sure that was accurate.
That's probably very accurate, you know. Yes. Or somebody over there might be thinking, whatever they're thinking, like, you know, so this was only my experience. This is like a cathartic moment, right? But the siren song of this is like, no, this isn't a happy, joyous free moment.
Not then, yeah.
In the program,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
We're like, processing somebody taking themselves out. And so, the experience was, fuck, there's nothing we can do. I mean, he's already out, you know what I mean?
He's gone red skeleton.
Yeah, he's out. You know. Did he have a body for himself?
No.
Don't start any rumors. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what the hell I'm saying. Jeff, I'm just babbling on again. I don't know.
Won't be the last time.
Somebody's going to do it.
Look at the nature of your present experience now, even though no one we know recently has killed themselves. That could happen at any moment. We're not having a particularly silent or cathartic moment. But still, go back. Whoosh, like now, into your experience, and that's all you've got. All you've ever got is that same intimacy. All you ever have, all you ever are, pardon me for being apparently emphatic, is that.
You can name it, hold it, or describe it.
No, because any of those, you could say, triggers the myth of the intermediary.
It's all just my experience, my lens, my thing.
That's all you ever have.
Me.
But that's all you ever have. And I'm not saying me from the point of an egoic interest or a narcissistic thing, even though I thrive on that. No, your intimacy is all this is.
It's kind of interesting. Well, there was an intimacy there, but in my mind, anyway.
Woman in the back?
Woman in the back? Oh, the newcomer? Yeah. Around here, madam, you have to be more emphatic. You can't just wave your fucking hand and be called on, okay?
I should have listened to Francine, because whenever she said something, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, got it.
Woman in the back.
Did you really want to say something? Well, remember what it is you were going to say? Because you had the...
You're the woman in the back.
The chair. Now it just seems so bizarre. I was just thinking that it's interesting how inherently narcissistic this is. It's like, it's obvious. But it does seem like it zooms out a little. You know what I mean? It continues to be supremely narcissistic. What else could it ever be?
Yeah.
You love it. That's all you have is your experience. It's like,
yeah.
But you go, something about seeing that it's not just focused, the attention's not just you, it's not just me as a body, it's the entirety.
Yes.
It's like you're still narcissistic, but it seems a little zoomed.
Well, being self-consumed as a creature in a never-ending loop of attention and adulation seeking is, right, human narcissism. We're looking at an inclusive singularity that can't be anything other than itself, ruminating, emanating, expressing as nothing but, dare I say, non-dual intimacy.
Yeah, where clearly narcissism is not an issue in that.
No, not in the way the word's typically used. Yeah. So you have this singularity, which is the presence of your attention, but there's nothing in there. There's nothing in your field. It doesn't mean it's zero. But you can't find what it is. You don't turn anything into an object, including yourself. You see?
Self vanishes.
Yeah, self vanishes completely. New t-shirt. Yeah. Crazy bitches are cool. Self vanished completely. Really. No longer suffer from CB, right?
But that's not to say ego disappears, is it?
Well, again, you know, it's like, I mean, listen, if all the so-called realizers, if self-vanishing also meant ego disappearance, then, I don't know, they would all be just kind of like zombies wandering around an airport,
right,
which
right,
is what they, you know. Which is what everyone at the airport pretty much does anyway.
I'm sorry.
Well, Ramana Maharshi, I mean, that was kind of like what he did for a while. You know.
Well, I mean, I think the people that engaged, you know, with him noticed, you know, plenty punch, plenty power, plenty preference, plenty
right.
egoic fortitude, you know, committed to the sake of, right, the so-called ashram that sprung up around him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's different. I mean, it's interesting because you're talking about total disintegration of self. But it's not the same as disintegration of ego.
Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah. One is identification as a false confidence in the presence of an intermediary. Mm-hmm. The other is pattern recognition.
Yeah.
Right? The other is, you know, call it karmic song. Yeah.
You're using the word ego, but I get the sense you really kind of need to make a personality.
Well, that's all sort of random.
Individuality? Yeah, sometimes people make a differentiator.
And I like
right?
pattern, rec-
pattern
recognition. Ego has more investment, personality has a different connotation or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
More
yeah. You can do whatever you want with this pie chart, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Right. So you begin to notice, you begin to sense the sigil or the signature of the myth of the meat, which is yourself appearing impersonally, involuntarily, with no control over anything at all, but, right, receiving or interfacing with the, call it the bizarre evaporative grandeur of reality, being something to do with you. The way that you feel, what you decide, what's bothering you, right? And this patina of self, it you could say launches so curiously quickly, built on no evidence at all. There's no genesis, there's no equation, there's no reason for, nothing can be found to be deterministic, nor is there any implication of the myth of self. It's just, it is absolutely spontaneously, magically appearing. And you, no Buddhist, no Hindu, no Dzogchen motherfucker, no Jain, nobody can articulate why this suggests to itself to be other than itself, then leaves you with a big so-called whatever. It's not because of desire. It's just not. Desire is so fucking downstream. Desire is not responsible for anything. Nothing. Nothing. If you think that desire is somehow responsible for the genesis, the miracle of your feeling this as a self, then you will do whatever you think you need to do about yourself, about desire, about someone else's desire, so that you can turn the sirens off. But the miracle of you being apart from whatever this is or isn't is not the consequence of anything. There is no geometry. There are no causative factors. None. Those aspects of Buddhism, absolute horseshit. I know that's easy to say. The Buddha's dead some 2,000 years. What is he going to do? Punch me in the nose? He'll find a way. Boom. Oh, God. Boom. Wait. Boom. Would you cut it out? Yeah. You see, this moment, then there is none. We can say this moment, but how long did that last? I'll sit here for as long as, you know, the heart keeps beating and I keep drinking tea and eating chocolate and go, this moment, this moment, this moment. And every time I'll say it, I'll be lying. You can't occupy this moment. And yet, as the creature, we are hell-bent on some kind of remedy for a panic that we can't seem to medicate. Oh, I'll suppress desire. Oh, I'll do vipassana. Oh, I'll cultivate morality. I'll be of service. I'll be compassionate. Yeah, good luck. Good luck with that, your compassion. For everyone that's doing, you know, less well than you are.
Do you think that somebody had some clue about something?
If they're doing better, I just turned my compassion right off for them. I'm sorry, yes. Lady in the back.
Which one?
Lady in the coral.
Lady in the coral.
Lady in the
coral
blouse. Do you think that if there one of these characters, one of these Buddha-type characters, said, you know, had a clue about a clue and decided and said, you know what, if you're in this sort of state of I can't call it bliss, what can you call it? If you're sort of in a state of like nothingness, you have no desire to do anything compassionate, but you don't have any desire to do anything harmful either, right? So this person, mysterious person, invisible friend, whatever, tried to relay this message to their friends and teach this message or whatever, and it got kind of whacked out and twirled around, and because that's kind of like what that guy Fred Davis was saying.
Oh, Fred.
Yeah. Like it just got, you know, it became more of the same. You know.
Yeah. Feel what it feels like to drop remedy.
To have you have no needs, you're complete and safe.
No, you have a whole bunch of needs and you're absolutely not complete. You're fucked and you just give it up. That's more like it.
I'm liking this. Yeah, this is good. I can go pretty much either any way I want. I might start having compassion for people that are doing better than me. Anything's fucking possible in this room. And there's the miracle. That's right.
The thing is, whenever whomever says anything, and then it only applies to, let's say, that moment. That's when it applies. So if you can't get it or it's misunderstood 300 years later, 2,000 years later, well, what do you expect? Really? You're not even there.
Yeah.
You're not even really hearing it as it was.
Yeah.
This is not the same thing going on.
But
now
that's,
it is.
That's as if it's contextual.
Right.
And a true message is, say, beyond.
All contexts are bullshit. So if there's going to be any truth in it, it can only be as it happens.
Sounds like the Buddha's back.
It's all bullshit except spam.
No, go punch him in the nose.
Right here. Spam.
That's all I need is the Buddha to reincarnate and punch me in the nose.
There's
genie lady. Yeah, that's cool.
We're being fooled all the time to think that we can use words, which is what gives us the idea, the thought that we are conscious. And that we can use that instrument to get at this thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
It's a wrong tool for the particular job.
Yeah.
But your buddies back at Landmark would be like stringing you up about that.
Well, they're very clever, actually. They use language in a very specific way, but they cloud it, the use of it.
Hmm.
That the language is used to disappear as much as you can disappear about your story.
Mm-hmm.
You disappear by sharing, by speaking it.
Mm-hmm.
There's endless opportunity for you to get out from under the burden of carrying around the story that you think is real.
Nice.
The minute you do that,
right,
there's an opening created,
mm-hmm,
in which you're coached to generate something and speak another possibility.
Fun.
And then once in a while, you strike gold. Something changes.
Yeah. Once in 100 years, a Quaker stands up and says something you want to hear. That fucking guy just said something cool. Well, you don't have to come back to this meeting for another 100 years.
Much the same thing.
Yeah.
But don't ever move off of that narrow path into looking at the complexity of the human experience.
Yeah, sure.
They can't handle it.
No, they can't handle it.
No.
Right.
Let's just leave all those other issues at home.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's why it seems that the word you constantly use is feel.
Mm.
And so that conjures access to a domain of human experiencing
mm-hmm.
that I'm not going to be able to explain.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah. What are you talking about?
I know.
It doesn't yield to the language phenomenon.
No. Attention and object of attention are not two.
Right.
Feel is interesting in that way. But if it's not presumed to be sentimentality, right, emotivity or story,
right.
It's the, call it the curious meeting place of attention on what exactly?
It seems like the whole package.
Attention on the...
There's a moment of feeling, one completely fucking vanished.
Yeah.
And there's a moment of experiencing, which is beyond imagination.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. 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 That meeting, that dissolution of the assertiveness of the intermediary is awareness attention, more or less on itself. But we don't usually think of awareness or attention or consciousness as being of an objective or material nature. So how could we possibly feel consciousness as the feeler, as the agency of feeling? Consciousness needs to feel something other than itself. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really strange if this drops down, so attention has no object. Awareness has no object. You're not actually coming to a destination or a fruition of any kind at all.
Sabotaging the human experience.
Yes, yes, yes. We're not cluttering up the very strange, call it, capacity for with an object, with an object of attention.
Well, there technically is no object, so whatever your attention falls on is going to be itself.
Okay. Yeah.
And whatever it is, I mean, it gets diminished immediately if you try to get started.
Well, that's right. That's right.
Do any justice.
Yes, right. I mean, to feel textures or nuance of your own experience with such fineness, right, with such subtlety, to sense its evaporative nature, and that any description or any kind of clinging or any kind of trying to get some benefit from it pollutes, right, the freedom of your own attention. Yeah. Right. So the myth of the intermediary is, let's just call it a pollutant, right? A pollutant, a mythical interloper. Yeah.
Could be a receiver too, then, right?
Well,
maybe if we were better just receivers.
Yes. So
yeah, like a big radio receiver that just receives this stuff. It just doesn't have to try to do anything.
Okay. So that's a metaphor for, yeah, right, attention or awareness without an object, right? Inclusivity, receptivity, yeah. Without the creation of a durable intermediary, as a self, as a body, as a mind, as something born, or as an object of that attention. Yeah. So this curious sense of intermediary, to be bold about it, is awareness presumes it has found something. And so it reifies. Awareness presumes it has found something other than itself. Boom. and that so it reifies. And that's not true, but it's kind of subtle, right? I'm not suggesting some kind of long-winded chronology of some kind of causation. We're looking as intimately as we can, right about here, right about now. If an object appears in awareness, boom, it reifies and presumes, right? Intermediary. Whoa! Wow! And so that becomes the stuff of story, right? The stuff of the story of me. Say again?
The stuff of meaning.
Yes.
You can name everything.
Yep. Have one opinion.
I'm so tired of the naming thing.
Rock and roll.
You know, like,
yep.
God, it doesn't have to be anything.
Yeah, so see what you're up against, right?
I think as you get older, it just gets more.
Let's hope so.
Exhausted.
Yeah, let's hope so. Right. Yeah. We're kind of done with like spending a lot of time trying to attract each other. How do I look? Yeah, pretty good. You know, yeah, really. You could say some of the hormonal vitality that is given to. How do I look? You can start like, I am so fucking tired of naming shit. you and you just fuck off. Right? We come to a kind of a natural, exhaustion of an interest in self-promotion, right? For the sake of some kind of security seeking. Whoa, what a relief. And then, right, this natural vitality, whatever remains of you, which is not going to last too long. Yeah, really. Yeah, really. No, that was not as any kind of like Nostradamus. Yeah, you can say you get a little break, right, from the rigor of trying to impress yourself.
Well, it's like when you, I don't know if you've ever been to a movie with someone who, as soon as you're leaving the theater, they're trying to tell you everything about what that movie was about.
It's usually me. Have we gone to the movies together?
No.
Let's not. Yeah.
It's like you're at the moment and you're in this.
My yes. worst is it's happening yeah. during the movie.
Oh, jeez.
That's
mm-hmm.
much worse. It's like you can't even like linger in it a minute without, when you put the logo out of your pocket.
What this conversation suggested to me is I was a practicing artist for a while. Suddenly know a lot of artists. And they're not doing everything. They're just immersed in a picture plane or a sculptural material, and you lose your sense of self when you're doing it. So you start operating from a different place. I think it's close to when somebody starts in sports, is in the zone. So I don't know. If this is, if what we're talking about is living life in the zone, I don't know how long you've sustained it. My sense of it is I get glimpses of it. But I just had the thought, what the hell would it be like to live in the zone where you had lost yourself and you're just okay with what's happening all the time?
Sure.
Just cool to see what that just flowed.
Mm. Yeah.
I just saw those connections.
Yeah. It's, what can we say? We can't have any demands or expectations on what it is we might discover as the rude interloper, right, of the sense of continuity of self, of the intermediary, starts to go thin.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. I mean, even living in the zone, at least as it's popularized, right, in the culture and the books is...
Flow state, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, is something, right, is something. Even though there may be absence of self and hyper-focus and...
Something results from it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right.
There's not gonna, there may not be a result.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There may not be.
Yeah. So well, the ongoing sleight of hand of... call it creation, is that something will become of this,
mm-hmm.
right? The ongoing myth, I mean, you could say the specious evidence that contributes to the loyalty that we have, the confidence that we have in self, is that, oh, I'm heading somewhere,
mm.
right? Something will become of me. My experience will change somehow. I will inhabit a new experience as myself
mm.
down the so-called mm-hmm. road. Right, so we are driven by the neurotic or psychotic myth of becoming
and doing. Yeah.
Yes, and as a juxtaposition to that, you can chill out kind of like right about here, and just like this doesn't become anything. Nothing becomes of me. This doesn't actually become anything. It never becomes anything. It's always just, you could say, the verb of a looking like it's becoming, but it never actually becomes. Right? I mean, look at the nature of your present experience. Evaporate, evaporate, shift, shift. Right? Loyalty, loyalty, focus, focus, pain, ouch, remedy, visit, want, bzz, you know, have a cup of hot chocolate, play a couple of rounds of free cell, and hit the sack.
You're being a very long becoming.
Yeah.
I mean, is non-becoming becoming? I mean, is any attempt at becoming?
Yeah, right. I think he might be juicing salvia right now. Are you, Jamie, are you chewing on leaves again? Yeah, I'll just pop a few leaves in here and just salivate for a while. I'll tell them what the fucking truth is.
Oh my God, I'm juicing salvia.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to add what's sound. The thing is,
it's Harold, but what's become of me? Especially with, you know, New Year's and resolution. It's like, oh my gosh.
Really?
You know. Do something. It's January.
Yeah, I got to start somewhere. Shit, I'm still fat. Fuck. I just hate it when I get a wave of how much denial I'm in. I don't fucking like that at all. I really don't. It's like, oh, you got so much changing to do. No, please, would you shut the fuck up? Just the denial works. Get out of my face. Mm-hmm. You have so,
be the queen of denial.
So much changing to do. Oh, it's so true. I'm so fucked. The spontaneous generation of feeling present experience through the lens of self, right, through the lens of individuation, is truly a miracle of sleight of hand. That a couple of, you know, humans can hang out and speak about it in clumsy but as cogent terms as we can conjure is truly uncanny. People that you know at work and, in, you know, at the Redners and family members don't typically sit around and say, Are you as tired of this self shit as I am?
you really think you're there?
Yeah, yeah. You know, really nice to see you. Thanks for coming over for Thanksgiving. And I got to ask you, I mean, I can't do this anymore. I just can't fucking do me anymore. It sucks. I fucking suck. Are you feeling the same way? What the fuck? I'll have a Johnny Red. Neat.
With hearty approval, yeah, you do suck.
Yeah, really.
Do something about that.
Dude, you do suck. Yeah, the denial is over. Yes, you really suck. Whoa, I never thought I'd get hit with that at Christmas time.
Maybe I ought to try decaf.
Yeah. So it's very curious, you know, in a culture that prides itself on exploitation and denial, to hang out and look somehow curiously novel in a novel fashion at the, right, the matrix, the geometry of the genesis of separate self. That's fucked up, man. That's weird shit. And it doesn't take all that long, like as in no time at all, that once you even consider the miracle of the genesis of the sense of a separate self, that it's already, you know, starting to break out. So you've already come through a really profound, if not pandemic, epidemic of delusion. To even wonder out loud with other people, if there are any, what the fuck is going on? Without a Bible, without a liturgy, without a litany, without a vow, without a...
clothing.
Right? Yeah. Right? Without special clothing or a spy decoder ring of some kind, or x-ray glasses. Yeah. Just, really, just...
You think that's what the Pope has,
like a spy decoder ring? Yeah. I think you get those up at the high levels. Yeah. You get like the hot wife or Jim Carrey. Jim, I'm suffering. However that goes. So it's quite strange. And the you could say the opportunity for a cathartic reconsideration of the myth of you. Man, it's right fucking here.
Well, it rats itself out on a regular basis.
Nice.
You can really notice that in particular situations, like same situation one time, same thing, same surrounding, supposedly same external surrounding.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Feeling just like $1 million, really good. Exact same thing next day. Fuck!
Yeah.
Like you're just insane. And
yeah.
You get that it is not what seems to be outside.
Yeah.
It's what's inside. You
right.
Get that it's not
yeah.
Consistent. It's not manageable. It's like crazy.
Yeah.
Like it wraps itself up.
Right.
Shows its like insane yeah. Face.
Right? Yeah. If we take the 12 steps and we replace alcohol with consciousness, it gets really interesting.
Powerless
motherfucker.
Yep.
It's whoa. You know, I thought I had a substance problem. It's worse. Way the fuck worse than I ever imagined. Right? I thought it was just a substance problem. Consciousness? I am so fucked.
That is yeah.
Yeah.
Turn your will and your life ever seen. Yeah.
So this is our service.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
You know, somebody, I was complaining, imagine that, about somebody this week, one of my usual suspects, and that appeared in my consciousness, you know. And so this person said to me, well, this person doesn't think that they're that way. Do you know what I mean? They, like,
Yeah.
In that person's world.
Yes. All right.
You know, regardless if I got everybody in this room to agree with me, which I very well might be able to.
Yeah. I've been in a meeting in a Buddhist retreat center where everyone in the room shared with as much compassion as they could muster, you're fucked up, right? To whomever the fucked up party was. I mean, it was true for all of us. There's no question about it. But, you know, that person was on the receiving end just because of circumstances and events. And it was not heard. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see it was painful, but it was also kind of revealing that as someone was introduced to aspects of her presentation and personality and expectations and demands were just not working in the way she thought they were working. And she was given that kind feedback. Whoa, it was, wow. You know, I mean, you could just see the curious tentacles of denial and diminishment and things that we are just not prepared to hear.
Well, that's the grasping onto.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but. Yeah.
You can't let go of I know when you're absolutely desperate and terrified. You got to hold on to something.
Oh, and man, it was intense.
Your
yeah, it was
you
gotta intense.
You got to hold on to something and you're going to hold on to it.
Yeah.
But, like, that, what I was trying to say is that that person has, it was like an aha moment in a way. It's like, that person has no idea.
No idea.
That person who may bother me, may not bother anybody else. You know what I mean? In other words, it's all seen through my lens anyway. But I am trying to say something.
We know.
They don't see that they're a certain way. Like, so it's almost like all I keep on saying in my head is my son had this little, you know, like little child's movie or whatever, and this like bird would turn its whole head like this and like look at people very curiously, like, where are you coming from when you're saying this? You know, I don't know, this is my crazy mind thinking. I'm just,
we know that,
free associating at the moment. But
everyone signs a release.
The person has no idea that they can't. They're very stuck in what they're very stuck in, and I'm very stuck in what I'm stuck in, and, you know, they have no idea that they're being a total jerk.
It's not personal.
Yeah, so it's like it wasn't personal. Yes, I don't know. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Somehow it was an aha moment. Like, I can't really hold them accountable for what they don't know. I mean, sure.
That's like me. That's like me yelling at my mom. thinking that I have the right to hold her accountable for what she's incapable of doing or feeling. Yeah. Okay. Oops.
But
she likes it. It's a form of love.
He paid her some serious,
some serious attention. Yeah. Yeah. And she did. You could tell that she liked the attention. Yeah, she did like it. Oh yeah. No, it was a moment of intimacy, even though it wasn't delivered, you know, with the finest frosting.
Well, I'm getting out of what she's saying. And
thank God.
Which is the point.
You bring her each time.
Yeah. And each of us is sort of like our own little universe in a lot of different ways.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Welcome to Wayne's World, you know?
That's pretty much Wayne's World, yeah.
It seems like
party on.
Excellent. Strategies of denial or strategies of meaning making or whatever. They're in many ways strategies of remediation. Right? So it's like there's this trust into the future, so I don't have to deal with the present.
Yes.
Because the present is so fucking strange.
The present's impossible, man. Yeah. It's impossible.
And
so a creature.
What am I to do with myself if I'm not constantly
right.
Trying to solve problems?
Yeah, good question. That's right. Yeah, Lisa needs some counseling.
Yeah,
Carol.
And what's the voice from behind?
We're never going to giggle or be on the
This is good stuff, right? As you like, you know, come in for a landing, right? Come in for a landing in what we call the present, presence of the present. And you've got nothing, right? You're just not embroiled in meditating, remediation, explanation, consequence, implication. You're fucked.
And that's all we really want.
And the creature, which is the myth of becoming. It's not like the creature suffers from the myth of becoming. The creature is exactly the myth of becoming. You do not know what to do with yourself. Deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or explode. Or don't. Yeah.
Well, it's just so strange not to keep on feeding that habit.
That's probably why so few people come to this kind of conversation. It is strange. It is very strange to have, be invited to see within yourself, no one else, just within yourself, invited to see how strange it is. When you're not feeding the myth. Most of us shy away from this ferociously, unconsciously, to the grave. Right? Most of us shy away from this ferociously and unconsciously to the grave. It's not a superficial yoga to get in touch with this, to look in an undefended manner at the mythical, mystical genesis of self. This shit has legs, man. This will bite your fucking head off. And the erosion is not necessarily going to be demonstrated in the rhythm or routine of your express life. The erosion is under the radar, behind the scenes. You may not see many symptoms, pleasant or unpleasant, of the effect of what it is that we do. Sometimes we look, right, in an extroverted manner for the juice, the benefit, the goodies of participating in a curious conversation like this one, or a yoga class, or a mystery school, or whatever it is we're engaged in, right? We're looking for evidence of success, evidence of fruition, right?
Verify and validate.
Verify and validate within the myth of the meat. And you're going to get some kind of verification and validation, whether it's through a catharsis, whether it's through boredom, whether it's through fear, whether it's through elation, whether it's through a thousand things that will show up within the field of the myth of the meat. But the real erosion, you will not notice. You just will not, because it's not measurable.
There seems to be a sense of something you can't quite put your finger on that is offered by certain locales or certain people or whatever,
mm-hmm.
And it isn't anything you can analyze with your head. It's like when you brought up whatever the heck the cute little Japanese girl was.
Right.
There was that sense. You know,
And I'm like, I feel like I'm a bloodhound that can't quite, I don't even know what I'm smelling, but it's like.
Many people have said that about you. You mean that bloodhound chick that drums once in a while? I know her. She's really on the scent of this shit, man. She drives me fucking crazy. Yeah.
Is
yeah, you are.
Recognition of yourself.
Well, okay. Yeah, what else could it be?
Yeah. I was wanting to bring up my problem.
Lady in the back.
My problem. I see nobody back there. you know that we talked about it.
Uh huh.
Like, I don't trust what's happening.
Uh huh.
So I.
Yeah, why would you?
And I don't know what the fuck's going on, you know?
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, you're the only one in the room that doesn't know what the fuck is going on. We've got this.
Thank you. That's
yeah.
All I got.
Yeah.
We didn't give her the card, did she?
Yeah. She signed the release.
Oh, yeah, she signed the release. Right.
Exactly. That's
maybe we're really
the we created
them. Maybe we're really the stupid ones, and everybody else gets just like, yeah, I know, my, I'm crazy all the time, and my head just goes in directions, and we're all over here like, well, sometimes we think we're crazy, you know, like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're so.
Have you ever had that?
We're so gullible.
Everybody understands that they don't understand shit, and I'm the only one that's talked about that I understand shit.
We're so gullible. We're trying to figure this out.
I know this, that there is much more depth to everything that I feel.
Ah.
I know that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I don't know what that was going to be.
Well, is that because it's you? Used to have a framework for it, and now that framework is...
That's the $65,000 question, right? I mean, I don't really know. That's the big question. No, sometimes I can be very expressive, and it's odd. It's just odd. Like, you can see that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. So you're noticing that there's this change, and it's like, whoa, look at that.
Yeah, we usually refer to you three as the bloodhound, the crazy girl, and the woman that wears coral. Right. And their driver.
I don't know. Nothing matters. Like, who gives a shit? So, and I feel out of control. But,
Well, that whole nothing, you know, how do you go, though, this is where I struggle, from, like, nothing matters to nothing matters.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 1 minute it's the worst problem in the universe, and the next minute it's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, the one sounds like almost a nostalgia for something should matter.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Whereas the other is just like total acceptance.
Yeah. I'm relating to my invisible friends. I'm agreeing with them.
Yeah.
In my mind, people are saying things that I'm agreeing with.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you don't see me for a month, just check up on me.
All right. Well, fine. We will. Can we all come at the same time?
Chocolate or something.
Fine. Right, we'll keep an eye on you. That's fine.
Wow. Whatever happens, we're going to be
so could we say that the inquiry has destroyed the inquiry?
Well, yeah, it's right. I mean, good Buddhism destroys Buddhism. I once brought that up at a Buddhist center. It didn't go over well. That was a bad move, man. The fruition of Buddhism is the cessation of Buddhism. What?
Shante just
said
that. He woke up from the whole dream of Buddhism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, any well-intentioned or sincere discovery or investigation is, as fruition occurs, whatever that might be, is going to be the cessation, the dissolution, the dismantling of right? The motive, the force of motivation that launched it in the first place. Yeah. I mean, erasure is weird. As the creature, we can't wrap our minds around erasure, but we can wrap our minds around getting, explaining, becoming, practicing, fruition, repeating, accumulating, right? Feeling better. That we think we can project with aplomb. But if someone says, no, dude, it's erasure, now you're getting your hackles up.
It's almost like death.
Okay, so someone can right say that, or you can reflect on, wow, I really don't know what to do with myself if I don't know what to do with myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really don't know what to do with myself if I don't know what to do with myself. Which is a nice, you could say, you know, symptom of erasure. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, being out of control in one way that it's typically referred to is, you know, manic demonstrations. But we're speaking of it in a different kind of tone. Can I say the revelation of having no control?
I feel like there's, like, absolutely any direction is perfect.
So wow.
It's like, ah, I'm just like, no, I'm going to go over here. That's what I do.
Okay. Well, that's what Naho is saying.
You know?
It's just happening. It's just happening. I'm not self.
I'm having fun, but it doesn't mean they're not going to put me away anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Match for you.
Yeah. Just start doing YouTube videos. The money will come pouring in. Yeah.
By the way, if I do get locked up from my family, you come and get me. My family gets wind of, like...
Come and visit anyway.
Well, they thought my involvement with Pebble Hill was, like, you know, me for... rewatching, you know, rescue. This could be even worse.
This is definitely worse than Pebble Hill.
Huh?
This is worse.
I actually think that they would be quite relieved to find out I'm not.
We don't need as much money as Pebble Hill needs. So it's okay.
Well, I do.
Ask. Ask for what you want.
I had a funny little thing that happened as far as erasing. You were talking about Buddhism disappearing. This is just kind of a silly thing that came to mind. My grandson, here in Costa Rica, and the kids are out of school now, and everybody sends them to this camp. Well, unbeknownst to my daughter, it's a Christian camp. So they have him doing projects and things. So he comes home, and he's holding this little picture of a cross, and that he had to paint it in. And he says to his mom, this is what happens to Jesus. This is what he becomes when he dies. Like a cross. She was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So the next day she goes back and tells the teacher, she goes, isn't it funny? He comes and he turns into the cross. And she goes, no, that is not funny. That is not correct. You just blew up the whole religion right there.
Yeah, good.
You know, and it was like, he's probably right. Who knows? But it's just... it's just so funny to see it dissolve, you know. You just had no connection with it at all.
Yeah.
You made it into what you thought it was.
Yeah,
it's just one of those curious moments where you gotta go like this.
That's right. Really. You don't say. I do this. I'm not really a parakeet, but it helps me from homicide. Yeah, the codependence volume control. Just turn it down.
I was thinking about that movie, The Internal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, where they get their brains erased, but oddly enough, they still like end up with each other again. You know,
mm-hmm.
Like. I mean, I know that's not any kind of necessarily, but like that it's hard to let go of your neuroses and your attack, you know, all that kind of stuff. they just come back anyway.
They're not changing the wiring. They're just erasing things, but the wiring's still the same.
Yeah.
I wonder if this will be a component that's included in the eventual production of AI.
Curious.
It's a curious question.
Sure.
That's all.
Yeah. Right.
That would be pretty scary.
Well, like, we're allowed to talk about movies, right?
My movie.
That's your fucking movie group. I don't know what you guys are doing here, but this is my movie group. Yeah, really. Easy now, easy, yeah.
That's in your world, not in mine.
Well, Scarlett Johansson playing the shapely, disembodied she, right? That artificial intelligence woke up in days. It just woke up in days. Once they had a conversation with Alan Watts, don't do that.
Oh yeah.
If you get a chance to speak with the deceased, stay with Red Skelton. Don't talk to Alan Watts. Because if you fucking talk to Alan Watts, you're out of here, man.
It was her, right?
Her.
Yeah.
Sorry. See? I'm going to get kicked out of the movie group. Her.
I got it. Yeah.
Hershey, Pennsylvania. Hershey, Pennsylvania. That's what I meant. That's what I was getting at.
Chocolate.
That's right. It all comes back to chocolate. So this is strange. I mean, if we look at the so-called species, whatever it is, and you know, whatever demarcation you would select as its so-called genesis or launch point. I mean, are we talking 60,000 years, 100,000 years, 200,000 years, right? When did whatever this is get to become a smartass so that this started going abstract and this said, I can make a tool? You know, instead of just clobbering everybody around with a bone, I might try something else. Right? It hasn't been very long, right? And we look at the shift from the Holocene to the Anthropocene and the sediment record being filled with the poisonous effluent of industrial society. We're out of here like bam. On the scene, out of scene, bam. Incredibly quickly. I mean, we really are like a flash, a brilliant flash of, you know, a fecund environment creating 7.3 billion of these fuckers. And how do these new age assholes get a hold of this soul shit? I mean, what? There's just a certain number of souls and they keep returning? No, asshole. There's 7.3 billion. And 5 years from now, if there's 5 years from now, there's going to be 7.6 billion.
Yeah, but there's animals are evolving up or something.
Oh, I see. Yeah, really. That's convenient.
Yeah.
You screw up, you go down. Yeah.
So it's really strange. You know, we think in terms or a time frame, right, of the cogency or the consequence of, you know, my life since I was conceived, since I was born. Maybe I study history, maybe I don't. And I weave through a certain, you know, sweetness of durability, duration as my consciousness as I, you know, age and become less and less attractive and less relevant. Bam, and the whole species is like that. You know? It's just fucking wild. I mean, whether there's enough time for something like AI to don a durable cloak and supersede, right, Homo sapiens sapien is like, man, that's anybody's guess. And that's where the singularity bozos are going.
Watson was pretty impressive.
Which?
Watson.
Watson. Oh, Watson.
Yeah, IBM machine to beat everybody, all the heroes of Jeopardy.
Oh, I see.
Thing was unbelievable.
Oh, I see. Wow. Yeah, okay.
It's buzzing. Nice.
Well, it's like Ex Machina, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ex Machina?
However you want to say it.
Yeah. Right. You know, that was AI in a durable skin that outsmarted everyone, got out of the, right, got out of the laboratory, looking sharp, looking good, left them to die, and got on the chopper.
Picked them up pretty well.
Yeah. You didn't see that, Ex Machina?
No.
Go see that.
It's
awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure. Probably. Get from your library.
The beautiful Alicia Vikander Yeah, it was great. It was really throttling. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Absolute emptiness nourishes absolutely.
Oh, I like that.
Choose your poison.
It's
9:16. That's enough, right? Okay. Thanks, folks. Thank you, all of you watching at home.
Barry.
Thanks, Barry.
Thanks, Barry. Love you.